I can embarrass my Navy brothers with the, if you just say blueberry, because they had this camouflage that was blue, and it was they nicknamed it like the blueberry uniform,
yeah.
Which was like, why do you want to be in camouflage if you fall off the ship and right. you're in the water?
Yeah.
not a good look.
Yeah, where? Like, where? I don't see it.
I don't think so. I think you're messing with me again.
There's a fish down there talking.
Somebody's throwing their voice.
Oh, yeah. It's the Beatitudes, everybody. Welcome. Ah. Yeah. This is happening. The Beatitudes is a show for Christian men who are seeking to grow in their walk with the Lord, especially through authentic fraternity. And how do you do that? Through humor, holiness, through taking the faith seriously, but not yourself, and inviting people into that conversation by remembering that faith is supposed to be fun. That's hey. What it is. It is. Speaking of fun, my name is Jeff Shufflebine.
That's fun.
Right?
Every time.
Okay. I am joined by a bunch of great guys, including my co-host, Nick Besner.
What's going on?
And Paul Kolker.
Hola.
And we're the Beatitudes for crying out loud. That's what's happening
That's
today.
It. That is what's happening.
For crying out loud.
Yes.
Do you cry not out loud? Like,
I sob inwardly sometimes. Yeah.
For, man, that's a new phrase. For sobbing.
For sobbing inwardly.
Sobbering.
Sobbing.
Not going to work.
Sobber slobber.
Hey, a couple things, and then we're going to meet our guest. I get a note. We also got a note today on one of our social channels, whatever that means. And it's, hey, dudes, comma. Had a few thoughts. This is just somebody. I didn't ask you, but here it comes.
Yeah, sure.
Unsolicited.
Here it comes, Greg.
Here we go.
For one thing, I think you have a new marketing theme for you. As I listened to your interview with Dr. Italy, which was just earlier this week when we were recording, I got so carried away that I was 10 minutes late for a call that I was leading. So here's the new tagline. Beatitudes. So good, you'll miss important meetings for it.
I love that.
There is no higher compliment.
Right?
That's awesome.
Well, we're trying to lead people to eternity, so sometimes it takes that long to listen to our episodes.
Yeah. And if you made it through it, it's like an act of penance that should just decrease that time it takes you to reach heaven.
That's it.
In the
yeah,
afterlife.
Gets
totally,
you there faster.
Totally.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. In confession the other day, he was like, yeah, just listen to another episode.
Wow. Yeah, I don't
Did
think...
say it to you as the host?
Correct.
I don't think we can officially an indulgence for this, but there should be.
You
I was
can
amazed.
Indulge in this, but it's not an indulgence.
There we go. There we go.
Hey. Man, through the socials, we also got to meet a gentleman named David Zallo down in Florida. He's in Tampa. And he's like, loved your episode with Father Andrew Dalton, Shroud of Turin episode. That one really took off. And so he just became a friend fan.
Sure.
Stayed in touch. And then out of nowhere, last week I get a note and says, Holy Spirit told me you need to have this priest on your show. And look, those are like the magic words.
You're in.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Those are our best performing episodes every time.
That's what this is all about, ratings.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not about that.
So he says, hey, there's a gentleman named Father Pete Pompacello.
Yes.
And because this guy was from Tampa, I just assumed Father Pete must be Floridian. But he says, this guy, and I'm going to butcher this, not on purpose, but he's like, he's an army recruiter, priest, recruiter. And I was like, whatever you just said, I'm in. So welcome to the show, Father Peter, a.k.a. Father Uncle Sam.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Hey, the Beatitudes. I'm here with the dudes. This is awesome.
That does not sound
How you
that
doing?
Floridian.
Awesome.
No, I am not Floridian.
You are?
This is where New Yorkers go to die in Florida.
Yeah, but you're not old enough to retire yet.
So wait, we'll finish that story Jeff started. So
okay.
I don't really know Dave Zallo. Except from having been on another podcast, he heard it. He reached out to me by email on the Army. It was actually my Army email. Mm. We have the Army system has what's called global email in that you can search for anybody. So he found me and he said, hey, if you're ever in Tampa, and I'm like, ever in Tampa, I'm going to be there next week on business. And he's like, oh, let's get together. So we did. And then here we are like less than a week later.
Wow,
and we're on
so
and,
awesome.
And I'm hanging with the Beatitudes.
we need to record.
Yeah,
100%.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, we're just going to get a bunch of drops. We're going to keep that stuff going so that we can just drop Father Peter in
the
there.
The Beatitudes.
Man, I always like teasing this too. If you're listening to us, and all those listening podcast platforms are great, you're missing out because what do you call these fatigues? What do you, so Father yes. Peter's in his full-on, like,
these US are my Army. OCPs. These are my OCPs.
So your camouflage from, you don't look like,
you can't,
you don't
you
look
can't
like
even
a priest.
See me in the room.
No, yeah. You can
those
only
of you
see
on YouTube, it's amazing you can even see me. I'm
yeah, you can only see him from the neck up. Yeah.
What, so OCP stands for what, though?
On-camera personality.
So we've had so many iterations of this uniform. The BDUs was the battle dress uniform, and then an OCP. Oh gosh, I should know this, right? Like I'm wearing it. OCP.
But you don't call them fatigues anymore because y'all were tired of that.
We usually just call it the duty.
Oh, official. I
see
this.
What you did there. I see what you did there.
Official Catholic priest.
There you go. That'll work. I should look it up. Like, I really should know that. Oh man. Anyway.
So above your name, your last name, you have the crucifix, so that...
So the cross.
Oh, sorry, just the cross.
Yeah, I wish it were a crucifix.
Yeah, right
hey.
On. Do you have to be a chaplain to get that?
So, very good. This identifies me as a chaplain. Only a chaplain will wear this on this side above their name, this device. And there's five different devices. Three for the major world religions. Quiz out there, everybody. So you got Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. So there's three different symbols for each of those. And then there's also a symbol for Buddhism and for the Hindus.
Mm.
Those are the five recognized religions recognized by the federal government to serve as chaplains in the armed forces.
Military services.
Hmm. And is there anything that I would be able to look at you and be like, that must be a Catholic priest?
No. Okay. That's a good insight that you wouldn't be able to tell just by looking at the uniform, the way I'm dressed now. You'd know I'm a Christian, but then you'd hear it, though. If you were in the unit with me and if people referred to me, you'd hear people say, "Hey, Padre." And that's generally reserved for priests. So, like, everybody's kind of head swivels and goes, "Oh, wait, oh, that chaplain's a priest? Oh, I didn't meet that guy yet."
So, I mean, it's so undercover from a, like, camouflage in. I mean, it's such a I'm not trying to be funny, but you like it doesn't jump out at you. Yeah. Like if I saw you at an airport and I was saying bye to you and I said, "See you later, Father," people would be like, "That dude's your dad. You guys look like you're the same age."
Jeff, that's pretty generous.
Why are you calling your son father?
I don't know how to take this. Am I that old looking?
No. I was saying it.
How old are you?
55 this April.
What?
Younger than me. This is
I'm younger than
by a lot.
You look 10 years younger than me.
Like, I don't have seven kids.
This is like,
and
a
I don't have the week that you had.
Yeah,
that's true.
Sure,
that's
but this fair. Is like a pick six. Like I thought I was gonna score a touchdown, and you just scored. Like I don't get it. I want to score on defense.
Wow,
guys, I have to tell y'all this, and in a minute we'll talk about my hospital stay. But literally, this doctor walked. Gosh, I can't stand these stories. This doctor walks in. It's my wife sitting there, and then my mother-in-law is holding my three-year-old. And he goes, "Okay, I see that we brought your wife here, and is this older sister?" And points to my wife as Benedict's older sister. And I, like, my entire posture just collapses into myself. And my wife is like... "As a matter of fact, no, I'm his wife." And I'm like, "Y'all, this is not fun for me."
You're like, "There's enough going on in the hospital as it is. I don't need an insult to my ego.
You guys just line up and punch me in the stomach." another really quick fun story. Father's like shooting out notes on his socials right now.
I got it. You know what? I had it. There it
he
is.
Had to look
operational
up.
Camouflage pattern. You think I was going to let that go?
OCD.
Oh my God.
He was OCD about the OCD.
Yeah, really?
Totally. He had to solve the
I'm
problem.
Like, what
had
the
to
heck
get it TBD.
Because then they had different names like Scorpion and there's all these nicknames. And I was like, okay, there we go. Now I can go on with my life.
Well, that actually makes sense because there are hunting. Like camouflage
well,
that have different
yes,
patterns
yes.
to
and
it,
then
right?
Yes, and then we had a problem back in the 90s. We had, soldiers loved them. It was a desert favorite. The desert, they were called chocolate chips. They looked, because they looked like they had chocolate chips in the desert camo pattern, but then some other country adopted the uniform. We're like, all right, we got to get out of that. We got to change the uniform. So there's so many different variations.
I don't know how people loved them because they looked like chocolate chips.
I can embarrass my Navy brothers with the, if you just say blueberry, because they had this camouflage that was blue, and it was they nicknamed it like the blueberry uniform.
Yeah.
Which was like, why do you want to be in camouflage if you fall off the ship and you're in the water?
Yeah.
not a good look.
Where?
I don't see it. I don't think so. I think you're messing with me again.
There's a fish down there talking.
Somebody's throwing their voice.
That sounds like a Willy Wonka uniform.
Yeah, right.
What are we putting on today? The fatigues? No, let's put on the blueberries.
Veruca, darling.
Yeah. Come with me.
Only okay if there's the only okay if there's the automatic like inflation upon hitting the water, right?
Yeah. Now you're
that
styling.
Is actually a, the blueberry. We could put this out into the Navy.
Violet, right. You're turning violet.
Yes.
Seen the movie too many times.
Okay. There's so much. Actually, let me just share this. I got to share this with you. Father, we talked last Thursday, I believe. Today is Wednesday, maybe. No, it's not. What's today?
No. Yeah, you're
today
right.
Today is Wednesday.
Yeah,
nailed it.
You nailed it.
The day of recording is Wednesday. Yes.
I feel okay. I'm done. That's my whole story. I got it right. No, Saturday, because I have 7 kids, one of them, 4-year-old, swings a golf club and hits the 3-year-old Benedict in the back of the head. And I didn't know because my kids didn't want to get in trouble. And so eventually I realized he's not getting off the couch. Even when he's screaming for me to pick him up, he won't move. And then he won't move his head. And I'm like, what's going on with him? And finally they're like, I hit him in the head with a golf club. I'm like, okay. So I keep watching him. And finally I say to my wife, I'm like, let me just take him to urgent care. Like, I'll be back in a couple hours. And my oldest daughter's like, can I go with you? I said, yeah, I actually would love to have you in the car. Like, I want to know if something's happening with this kid. So we go to urgent care and they're like, listen, you get a concussion, don't go to urgent care, go to the ER. So I'm like, okay. So we're driving to the ER and I keep thinking a couple hours. They do a scan. They're asking me some questions. And they say, skull didn't crack. Good. Certainly a brain bleed is the way your brain's supposed to work. It has this absorption. Doesn't look bad.
Just means a concussion.
That's right.
Right.
So we want to hold him for an observation and the neurosurgeon's going to come see you. And I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And they'd done, maybe called a CT. I don't know. CAT scan, PATS, I don't know.
Yeah, one of those.
Yep, looked like a donut. And he starts asking me about seizures. I'm like, listen, 4 hours ago, he got hit by a golf club. Like, that's what happened. And he's like, yeah, but the neurocranial. And I'm like, don't know what you're talking about. He's like, let me do an MRI. There's something going on. It's not what you think. It's not related to the golf club. And I'm like, what? So I tell my wife, I'm like, something's going on here. So I said, start preparing. Let's start kind of mobilizing a little bit just in case. The next day, I switch out with my wife. They do the MRI. I'm at home, and she calls me, and she said, please make sure you're not around any of the kids. The MRI results came back. Our son has a brain tumor. And her exact words to me before she even said that, she goes, St. Ambrose is watching over our family right now because it was our son Ambrose, who we believe is a miracle, that swung the golf club that hit Benedict in the back of the head that caused them to do this search. They said it was already starting to show that it had been growing and hemorrhaging and whatever, and that we were within weeks or months from major seizures to try to diagnose this. So she said, this golf club, this did it. Like, this is like the miracle of this golf club swing. So I kind of get everything together. In-laws start moving, mobilizing. People are taking care of everything around the house. By the way, I just had my 7th kid and just moved into Paul's old house. I didn't tell you this. I moved into his childhood home. This is so weird.
Oh, wow.
On accident.
Yeah, it was completely on accident. This was not a plan.
You're serious.
Yes. No, yeah, this really happened. He looked up the records and he was like, wait, Mike Golker's name? My parents built that house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything's weird. And yeah. No joke, that's a Sunday, and they schedule brain surgery for Monday. Then they push it, like, we're trying to figure out what time. They schedule it for 3 p.m., the hour of mercy. I'm like, okay. Of course, people mobilize in prayer as well, and they bring an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe that's here in the Diocese of Dallas. They drive it around. This woman drives it around the hospital starting at 3 p.m. and broadcast on Zoom Divine Mercy Chaplet and a rosary that a bunch of people joined in on, local and from all over. But more importantly, I just could feel the prayers of faithful people, right? I could just feel that love and that support, and I think that prayer is real. And my son had a brain tumor removed on Monday. We had got back to the room late that night, had a pretty rough day and a half, and they say that the best place to recover from a brain surgery is at your house because the skull is, you know, not going to move. So my son is back home, and here we are from less than a week ago that I talked to you, Father.
Amazing.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say other than like God works in mysterious ways, and that I want to brag about something. My wife, because we're both going through Hallows Pray 40. And they're doing the He Leadeth Me book series, and also just good, just reflection. And as they were wheeling Benedict down for surgery, she turns to me and says, I'm crying, right? She says, you know what? We're just going to pray to accept God's will, because anything that God's willing for us, whether it's pain, suffering, or loss, is always going to be to bring us closer to Him and closer to heaven. And I will be terribly sad if anything goes wrong, but my entire prayer is to completely accept and be abandoned to God's will. And so then we get in that room and we're just hugging and crying. And then, you know, people came and joined us. And then we found out great surgery. They got it all. Found out he's healing well. I have to give him a shower or a bath later to scrub his little wound. We're going to recover in Paul's house.
Amazing. It's your house now.
Yeah, it is your house now.
I told Paul, I said, you need to come by and give me a tour of the house. I want to see where everything's at.
I can tell you where the Super Nintendo used to be.
Did you leave it for me?
No, I didn't. Where it used to be.
Oh. You know where Paul got to be such a great actor is the fireplace.
Oh, I know. We've talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that where you held court? Was
yeah,
that
was it was elevated. It was like so that I would stand up on there and put on little shows as a kid. It was fun.
So thanks for thanks for letting me share. I mean, this has been one heck of a journey, and just like all of my kid journeys, I've not been on this alone. I feel like the world's been on this journey with me.
I think it's impossible to go through that and not talk about it. So
yeah. Well, and Nick and I had this call the other day, and he goes, "This is kind of weird to say, but when I talk to people and I'm like, this is what's happening with Jeff, everybody's kind of like, man, that's incredible." Well, I guess that would happen to Jeff. Yeah.
Only Jeff is like everybody's response.
We pulled away from the hospital today, and I looked at a man. I said, this doesn't even feel foreign or weird.
Right.
And she was like, I know. And now we're still hosting a big event at, I don't even know how to refer to this
at
house.
At the house.
At the house.
Yeah, your house.
2 days from my house.
Yeah.
Because we're home. We're good. Yep. So.
That is wild.
Yeah, it is. But, yeah, Father, pray for Benedict. And for all of you that are worried about your kids swinging golf clubs at other kids' heads, they shouldn't do it, but sometimes it leads to miracles.
Amazing.
God's yeah. providence.
For sure. I can't even explain. Like, I think these two boys are going to have this life where one's like, you hit me in the head with a golf club. And one's like, I saved your life. And like, so it'd be going back and forth. And then for
hey,
some
remember that time I saved your life by hitting you?
Yeah.
By almost killing you?
Can I return the favor?
Yeah.
So I also had this moment today. I don't know why. Maybe this isn't even funny, but every time I call to order food for him, they will say, it'll take 1 hour for the food to get to your room. Thank you for your patience. And I keep thinking they're like thanking me for having a patient in their.
thank you for your
business.
Patient.
Yeah, thank you for your patient. That's actually how we make money. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So, Father, now that you know my last week's life story, okay, I'm really curious, what does it even mean to be a recruiter? I mean, what are you recruiting? You're recruiting people to the Army? You're recruiting people to be chaplains? You're recruiting both?
So my job exclusively, I'm charged to bring three missions, to bring priests or seminarians into active duty military, reserve duty military, or young men that are not yet priests as seminarians to be endorsed by the Archdiocese for the military services and work toward becoming, as chaplain candidates, work toward becoming chaplains.
You took a hard job and a hard job and made them harder?
It's brutal. It's brutal in that it's such a difficult ask. Like if I go to Bishop Schiffelbein, it's like, hey, give me your youngest and your most fit and motivated priests because I need them in the Army. Yeah, like I don't need them in my diocese. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Well, and so that's interesting because you said the Archdiocese of Military Services. Is that correct?
The Archdiocese for the Military Services. And there's a good distinction there because the Archdiocese for the Military Services, it's not of the Military Services. Yeah. And they worded that on important distinction because it's a church entity. It's not a government entity.
Mm.
And the bishop, the archbishop for the military services, Archbishop Timothy Broglio, he stands like right in between the service of the church and the state by endorsing a priest to the government to say, this man is a priest, he's spiritually fit for to serve and represent the Catholic Church. And he actually signs a DD 2088, which is it's a Department of Defense form that has his signature on it. And then that form goes to the chaplain recruiters in all their respective branches and said, okay, now let's take in, let's go do dental and hearing and blood work and
all the physical stuff.
The physical stuff, security background checks, all of that. And then all of that paperwork gets submitted to a board, and then they make a ruling as to whether or not, yeah, this guy's fit for service, let's bring him in as a chaplain.
I just think that's interesting, though, because I don't think most people realize that there's a whole separate church governance surrounding the military services.
Right, no. You're right. And that's why I'm so grateful to the Beatitudes for getting the word out. I mean, because this is how the public gets educated.
Yeah.
You know, what do people have as a reference for military chaplains? Maybe like Father Mulcahy, if you're a certain age, from MASH. I will shout out, though, there's a movie coming out, Fighting Spirit, and it's about a chaplain who served in Afghanistan, and then becomes a retrospective of the history of the chaplain corps over the years, which is really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
But people don't have this idea in their head that, like, wait a minute. So, you know, ministers work full-time in the armed services to support the First Amendment right of the soldiers, the sailors, and the airmen, that every soldier, sailor, and airman has a First Amendment right. Congress makes no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of religion. And that's where we come in. And I'm a priest and I'm a soldier, and I'm there to serve them and their families to bring soldiers to God and God to soldiers.
Mm. Is it a hard, like, I'm trying to imagine, you have to have this archbishop that goes through that process you just described. If I'm a Protestant that went to, you know, get a theology degree, I don't have as many hoops to jump through, right?
Thank you. Could you say that again, please, for my bosses? No, because
that's a hard deal.
I stand on top of my desk yelling and screaming to tell them, listen, this mission is different than recruiting any other type of religious professional into the chaplain corps. And we need them all because the Army represents the entire people of the United States.
Sure.
But that being said, to bring in a priest, I need a priest who's motivated to serve. I need his bishop, his home bishop. So thanks be to God to Archbishop Cardinal Dolan. He allows me to do this ministry. He gave me permission to even begin looking into this. So I need his buy-in to go and then prepare my stuff for Archbishop Timothy Broglio, and then that gets me to 2088 so that I can get near the Army to get checked out and then boarded. So you really need the buy-in of at least two bishops. We could throw in a third, too, because there's a noble path to citizenship. If you're a priest who's foreign-born and you're here on a green card and you love the United States, you love God and country, and you want to serve and you want to serve soldiers, we can do that. Well, now we need a third bishop, yes. We need your ordaining bishop back to whatever foreign country you're from to say yes, to give express written permission to the Archbishop for the military services, as well as the bishop that you're serving here in the United States. You need his permission. And then that all goes, so that's three bishops, plus a priest to make one chaplain.
So that's like a hierarchy Russian nesting doll.
Pretty much.
Like
there's a bishop aside. there's a bishop aside.
That's a good visual. I got to bring that to my meetings.
I feel like bishops are pretty busy just signing forms.
Right. A lot of administrative work.
Gosh.
Hey, Father Peter, you're going to show up and you're going to put a rushing nesting doll. And your
babushkas.
Your boss is going to be like, what's that? And be like, you just wait.
And each one has a label on it.
That's a great visual, though, because like the largest one would be the chaplain himself. And then it's like, okay, what did it take to make this chaplain? His home bishop, his bishop, the archbishop for the military services, and then Uncle Sam underneath all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So there it is.
Wow.
Then throw in the cross section of like military and priestly vocation. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those
somebody
are both
feeling,
pretty big.
Feeling a call to both.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. No, and that's why I'm on this trip. I'm here in Dallas to go to Dallas University because I know, and Dallas University, I know you're out there listening. There are young men there thinking about a vocation to the priesthood. So what better time to plant the seed like, hey, if you're thinking about this, we can get you what's called co-sponsored. So if you're a young man thinking about being you want to be a priest, and wow, I could be a priest and jump out of airplanes as a paratrooper. Like, yeah, how do I do that? We'd talk about it, and then we could get you endorsed and co-sponsored with your home diocese. Let's say it's here in Dallas. So the bishop from Dallas works with the archbishop for the military services, and then you'd be co-sponsored, and you'd study hard, pray harder, and then after you're ordained, you would do some time at home and finish your formation as a priest, and then you'd come on to active duty.
Father Peter, we need you to get an office right here on this hallway, because a lot of those young men that you want to talk to, they're coming and going through these hallways.
There we go.
It's true.
I think I introduced you to one of them right when we were by the coffee station.
There we go. Joe, come on, Joe. You're in my sights, Joe.
I just got
shouted out by the Beatitudes.
That's right.
Literally in the crosshairs.
Yes, I was going to say, be careful. If a military man says you're in his sights.
Yeah. And it's the crosshairs.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
I feel like Paul Coulter.
Oh, stop.
Is this what it's like? Is this what it's like every time? Amazing.
Well, you've been living in my house, so it's rubbing off.
I just finally got over it. You brought it back to that. Yeah.
Didn't.
Yeah. Benedict usually sleeps in your bedroom.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what we learned. Amazing. Yeah, that's pretty Amazing. Funny.
Very good.
Wow. Real quick, this is more of like a technical question. Most of the time, when people think diocese or archdiocese is a geographic region.
Oh, very good. Mm.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, how does that then work?
So, this will blow you away. The archdiocese for the military services really owns no property, and yet it's global. It's all over the
it's
world.
It's everywhere and nowhere.
It's everywhere and nowhere. I had the the opportunity to pray rosary. We did a rosary on Instagram for many Hail Marys at a time. And we made a point of praying this rosary in the chapel of the Chancery Building. I think it's the only property they own is that Chancery Building in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
But technically, if you really want to get down into the weeds, and technically that chapel, that chair is technically the cathedra of the archbishop.
Okay.
That would be, you could consider it, that's the cathedral church. I mean, practically speaking, it won't really function as a cathedral.
And, sure.
But it is. Because
the bishop is supposed to have a seat.
That's his. Then that's his seat.
Okay.
You know? Wow. Now, for practical reasons, like any ceremonies and things, they're usually done at the basilica down the street.
Okay. Fair.
The National Basilica.
That's super interesting, though. I was just curious because I couldn't remember how that was supposed to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Everywhere and nowhere.
And so it's everywhere and nowhere, and he has no priests of his own. He has four auxiliary bishops, but there's no priests assigned or incardinated to the Archdiocese for the military services.
Now,
we're all on loan until we're too old, too sick, or too dead.
Well, there you
go. Too dead. That'll do it.
Oh, him? No, I'm sorry. He can't serve. He's very dead.
What if you just look too old? Does that do anything? Guy looks like he's 20 years older. He's out.
A lot of hospital
Don't kick
stays,
me off the Beatitudes. You've aged out of the Beatitudes.
No.
We're going to have to get Just for Men sponsoring this show.
Just for Catholic men.
That's it. It's got like a chrism smell to it, though. Yeah.
It just teaches you to speak like Scott Hahn as you get older.
That's awesome. Yes. I hope he sees that and then even wants to come on the show more.
That's right.
Yeah. This will sell. I'm about it.
Just
this
for Catholic. There's a whole line. This is the whole Beatitudes thing.
Somebody's going to do the Photoshop of the box us, and it'll show up on our socials.
Not just a president. I'm also
the founder.
Know. Yeah.
There it is.
Father, what's the craziest thing? Like, I read a little of your one pager. What's something crazy you've done as a army recruiter and priest? Like, you're in these different zones or maybe jumping out of things. Like, what's something crazy from your life?
I think I just saw him think of like three or four.
Yeah.
And he's having
two of them I can't talk about.
Nope.
I saw his eyes light up, but he was searching.
I'm like, that is such a good story, but we're not telling that one.
Oh, no.
That's for the members only content.
That's it. That's it.
You want lighthearted or you want serious?
Holy
pick.
Spirit.
All right. Holy Spirit's going to give me this one then. Oh, Lord. It's good. It's good for chaplains. Good practice for chaplains is to make good friends with the medics and the flight surgeons. And, you know, when I was deployed, I hung out with the forward surgical team, because you're going to know right away when things get bad, because you're right where, you know, this is where it's all going to happen. So I'm hanging out with this forward surgical team, and I just get to the place. Now, my deployments would be 48, 96 hours is really sweet, but, you know, 72, 96 hours. I go, I visit, and my job is to make sure that you know I'm there. Like, you know the chaplain's on the ground. You know he's a Catholic priest and that he's going to offer confessions every day and say Mass every day. Whether you come or not, it's on you, but at least you knew I was there, and that's all I need to do is to make sure I advertise. So I stand at the head of the chow line. I say hello to everybody. I set up for Mass. I hear confessions each day. But I quickly caught on to the rhythm of this particular place that I was in, and it was really sad, and it was awful. All these displaced people from this city in Syria, they're in this cantonment area. It's a refugee camp. And at the time, we were fighting ISIS, and they had just booby-trapped the entire city. Like, the city was, you know, after the battle was all done, and when ISIS retrograded, it was just evil and spiteful that they booby-trapped the entire city. Mm. And when I mean booby-trapped, in insidious ways, we soon found out, it's like, these people cannot go home. It's too dangerous for them to go home. Mm. But what do people want to do? They want to go home. Yeah. You know, they want to go check things out and see what's going on. And we had this rhythm. It was really sad. The night would be quiet. You'd think, like, you know, oh, this is when the fighting's going to happen. But the fighting was over. And now the nighttime, it was dark, so the refugees would stay in their camp. But as soon as daylight came, it wasn't too many hours after first light that people would make their way back to their homes to try to figure things out. And there were explosive devices inside of dishwashers, you know, inside of closets that, like, there was no tactical reason to do this. It was evil. Pure spite and evil. Yeah. And that would be our rhythm. So we would have this, the morning would start, like, sun would come up, and then you're like, you kind of look at your watch, and then the people would come for medical care, and it was awful. It was sad. I wouldn't want to have to do it again, but I was so proud to be there to be able to support, you know, these people.
Sure. Mm.
And it's I think you can say that for all of military service. We train, we prepare to fight and win our nation's wars, to do things that you don't want to do, but you do them out of love for God and country, and you pray and you train to be as equipped for those moments when they come as you could possibly be. So that's that whole scenario. I was so proud of those flight surgeons. Mm-hmm. They just day in, every day, like, that was their rhythm. That was their rhythm. And, you know, people, I mean, not to get graphic, but you can imagine with how these people came to them, and then we'd sew them up, we'd do whatever, and then it would subside by the evening, and then it would be quiet, and we'd start over again the next day. Hmm.
Makes you realize, I mean, just like I was showing y'all videos, and I don't mean to make this comparison, but, like, there's all these pretty pictures of my son recovering from his deal, and then there's, like, the part where he's thrashing about for 3 or 4 hours, you know, and the love is, like, to pin him down, to keep him safe and whatever, but you see all these, like, what the military is and what service is like, and then you think about, there's a bunch of grind in there that is purely just sacrificial. Like, there's no glory in it. There's no social media in it. Like,
right.
It's nasty. It's haunting. But you show up and do it the next day and the next day. Like, there's just a love. And if you have Christ in you, then the love is something that you can continue to hold on to. I'm not sure what people do without faith in these places. I don't know, how do you make it through that? Maybe most people really don't have a solid footing then.
And that's, I think that's one of the biggest dangers in the Army, in the armed services. It's not bombs and bullets. It's family separation, and it's the temptation to become callous to the way you have to process this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can become callous, and you can become, you could really wind up letting it weaponize against you, yourself, you know, your own soul.
Yeah. Almost cynical.
Yes, kind of stuff. Yes. No, it's awful. And then there's the two extremes, you know, there's the bravado of it. Some soldiers will try to deal with it with bravado, and that's not healthy. We're not doing this for bloodlust. And then the other side of it is, it's like, oh, do we have to do this again? It's like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You know, and like, let's build each other up, and yeah, we got to go out and do this again.
So the Holy Spirit told you to take it to the heavy side when we just asked you, and now the Holy Spirit's telling me to take it to the light side, so we want to play a game with you.
Okay.
That game is called Blessed Are the Joke Makers, woo-hoo, for they shall inherit the points.
I love when they're
we'll go it. 55 points.
55 points. I like when people laugh because you know they're first-time listener, first-time guest.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it's all
right.
happening at the same time.
Absolutely.
But the way this is going to work is we've got a character card and a Catholic card game card, and we have to answer whatever the prompt is on the Catholic card game card as this persona. So we have to try to all take on whatever, however the persona inspires us, we have to try to assume that character and then answer the prompt.
And you are just the judge.
Yeah. And it is purely subjective. It's whichever one you just like the best.
But it's like they said, three of us came in here, Beatitudes, only one of us is leaving with 55
it's
points.
Like, it's like Highlander.
All right.
It can only be one.
I love it. So the character we have to take on is a good or bad witch. And the prompt is, Michelangelo's newest painting is titled blank.
This is a terrible
Michelangelo's latest painting, of course, is the broomstick, but not the one that I would fly around on. You know, the one that you might be using in the military. Michelangelo just released a new painting. It has a very long title. It says, "This is my broomstick. This is my gun. This is for fighting. This is for fun."
Yes, Michelangelo would paint the final judgment in the Sistine Chapel, but he would also paint the more final judgment in the Chamber of Secrets.
I feel like that might actually be a good witch because I get really confused in Harry Potter about who's good and bad. All right, there's 55 points online, Father Peter. What do you say?
Wow, it's like, that's it. One shot.
That's it.
One shot, one kill.
Nobody wants two shots at that one.
Oh, man.
That was a weird prompt.
Wow. I'm going to say we toss the good or bad witch.
Yeah. I mean, next.
You never know.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Oh, well, hey, you went all out. I got to give it to you, Jeff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, thank you. I was, that's what I'm known for, the good or
all
bad
out.
Witch. All out. Father Peter, for
I
being.
I think the house fell on you.
Yeah. A lot has fallen on me. For being our celebrity guest judge, you are getting a pair of socks from Sacrilegious. And it, look at this. It's the St. Sebastian socks for soldiers and athletes. And I want to tell you something that I am not going to joke about. Right before the show, because I wasn't prepped, I usually put these in here. Mm-hmm. I reached in that deal and pulled out a pair and stuck it in here, and I didn't look at it.
Wow.
I literally had no idea. And when I just opened this and saw the camo, I mean, this is like a camo pattern.
Yeah.
That's so
nice.
Cool.
St. Sebastian, awesome. Soldiers and athletes, nobody will ever know if you're wearing them, so tell people every day you're actually wearing them under those combat boots. This blows me away.
Awesome.
Thank
That's
you, Jesus.
So cool.
My goodness.
Amazing. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. And I'll pray for you guys as I put them on.
That's right. Well, and for anybody else who wants to put them on, you can get your own pair of socks for 10% off at sacrilegious.com/beatitudes. Check it out, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
I close my eyes. Golly, I hope this show will never die. There's a few dudes making tons of content that's good for you. The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes.
The team at Aquinas Wealth Advisors believes that good values and good returns are not mutually exclusive. Using a tech-smart and morally sound approach, they provide investment alternatives that align with Catholic teachings without sacrificing returns. These days, faith-driven investors are finding it hard to know where their money is going. They have no visibility into what their dollars are supporting, but there's a better way. Thanks to the Faith and Finance Score from Aquinas Wealth Advisors, you can look into your current holdings to see what you're supporting and make a switch to an advisor that aligns with your values and gives power to your voice. Check out AquinasWealth.com today.
Hey, Beatitudes, it's Jeff here. When Nick and I set out and we started this company, Undivided Life, we decided to not use traditional healthcare, but we went with Solidarity Healthshare because we thought it was an affordable and ethical alternative that matched the needs of our business and our growing families. Since then, my family put Solidarity to the test. We've had pregnancies, babies, emergency room visits, even a brain surgery for one of my children, and Solidarity has been an incredible partner and has also had the cost and the ethical approach that we love. Here's a link for you to go check it out. learnmore.solidarityhealthshare.org/beatitudes. This is your chance to be in solidarity with the Shufflebine family.
Hi, it's Paul Kolker from the Beatitudes here, and I just wanted to share with you guys that I also, outside of the show, perform improv comedy on a regular basis with a group called Divine Comedy. So what we do is we come up with everything on the spot, so whether you're looking for faith-filled, fun, family-friendly comedy for your youth night, or whether you're looking for clean comedy for your corporate event, Divine Comedy can perform for your group and even get you in on the action. So if you'd like to hire us to come out and perform for your next event, check out DivineComedyImprov.com. Divine Comedy, an inferno of fun.
Stop what you're doing and listen to the Beatitudes.
Welcome back, everybody. That's right. We are the Beatitudes, and we've got a new little intro.
We should be wearing those gray wigs or something. Judge wigs or whatever it is.
Is that from, I don't know the reference of that song.
I don't think it's Mozart. Okay. Labeled it Mozart.
Fair. That's fair.
Pretty sure he wrote it.
I'll take that. Anyways, we're with Peter Pompicello. Got that right? Chaplain, father, priest in the military services. In the first segment, you had... you shared a lot with us. We shared a lot with you. Really, we just want to get to our TBD question of the day, the Beatitudes, TBD. See how that works. And the question is, at the end of your life, you're in heaven, and you get to be the patron saint of something. What are you the patron saint of?
Shout out to Keith Downey.
Grassroots
Catholic. Go find him on Instagram, and he's got Morning Joy as a show as well. So he gave me this one. It's a good one.
It's a great question.
What did you say today when he asked you? You need to go first, and then all three of we're going
to that'll give
too.
You a chance to figure it out. So I would be the patron saint of procrastinators.
Somebody's got to be.
And I would be, because I'm a procrastinator in my own right, and at the same time, I do... By God's grace, I embrace the discipline to like get things done as they come up, and then not procrastinate at all. So like I'm and there's like no, the pendulum doesn't pass through the middle. I either go to the laundry, like I get my stuff out of the dryer in the basket, I fold it, I put it away, or it's the pile of clean clothes that just goes to the chair, and then it goes on the desk, and then it's in the way, so it goes on the bed. But then I got to go to sleep, so then it goes back to the chair.
Migrating pile.
Yeah, yeah. So I would be that patron saint, because I would say, no, come on. I can give you the courage. Come on, you can do this. Come on. And just to encourage you not to procrastinate. That's
so
what I'd like to do.
As the patron saint of procrastination, you would be canonized eventually.
Very good.
We'll get to it. What about you, Paul?
I would, part of me wants to... This is already taken by Mary, and I get that, but part of me would want to be the patron saint of patron saints.
Yeah.
But she's the mother of all saints, and I get that. I would want to be the patron saint of improv comedy, because I think there's a patron saint of actors, and I think there's a patron saint of, like, other
comedic
performers.
Like
St. Philip Neri is in there somewhere, and... So
it's not improv.
But it's not improv, because that's a relatively recent development.
Yeah.
And it's only, become more popular in the last, 20, 30 years anyway. So, yeah, I mean, as an art anyway. And so I would love to get to, be the foray into that.
I loved it. I think you're on your way.
Thank you.
Nicholas, do you have one already?
I mean, I would probably have to say something along the lines of, investment manager or, business owners. Like, entrepreneurs out there, I don't...
You can still be another one there.
Yeah,
but I think you're onto something, because...
if somebody's in the investment banking, private equity world,
right,
and it's kind of a soulless, godless world right. most of the time, yeah. like you Maybe, need yeah. to be a patron saint.
Private
there.
Equity.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
The patron saint of private equity sounds phenomenal.
That's it. Like, TM. Give me that sounds cool.
Heavenly arbitrage.
That's right. Lever up.
Lever up. The best is yet to come. I think my patrons, I would be the patron saint, perhaps of, I'm trying to think of the right term for this, but whatever you would call Tom Sawyer, like of galvanizing people to do things they didn't know they wanted to do, like community around doing work for you.
So patron saint of con men?
Good witch con men.
There you go.
Con, what's the positive yeah. word?
Pro man.
Pro man.
Yeah.
That's a strange one. He's the patron saint of positive conning.
No, but yeah, that
the influencer of influencers.
That's it. Ah, that's
patron
it.
Saint of influencers. TikTok, baby.
TikTok. No procrastination on that one.
All right, good. Hey, so Father, awesome. We finish all of our Monday episodes differently, just like the Simpsons starts their episodes differently. This is called Reverse Simpsons. We want you to just pour it on us. There are young men listening. There are people who have young men in their life that are listening who may be on this journey, right? They may be trying to yearn for what is that call in their life? Could it be priesthood? Could it be military service? Could it be the trifecta of all of these lining up and getting to hear Beatitudes, call to the priesthood, call to the military service through Father Peter leads them to raise their hand, reach out to you, make that connection. What would you say to the young men listening? You're talking to whoever's supposed to hear this right now.
I would say that the most important thing is to realize you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to figure out what you think you want to do or what. God has the plan. Yes. You just have to discover his plan. So just surrender to him and he's going to let you know what to do. And as simple as that sounds, it really is the truth. We don't have to figure out like, well, I don't know. I'm attracted to doing this or doing that. Just surrender to God and he'll do it all for you. He really will. He'll let you know on a level that you're going to understand if you kind of surrender to him in prayer and bring it to three things, to bring it to the Eucharist at Mass, bring it to the Eucharist in adoration, and bring it to our Blessed Mother through the Rosary. You're going to come to a certain conviction of like, all right, I need to act on this. And it's a lot like every vocation is a vocation to love. If it's marriage, you fall in love with a woman in particular, it's more tangible, but he's going to touch your heart and you're going to fall in love with him and the idea of following in the footsteps of his son as a priest. And you're going to be convicted. You're going to just say, you know what? I got to stop what I'm doing. I mean, you know, investing, banking, forget it. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that. Like, improv, no, wait. I got to go and do this. And he'll let you know.
True. I also like how he understands what the two of you do, but he still doesn't get what I do.
you're already spoken for, your father. And
there you go. So awesome. How do people get in touch with you or with your work?
Great. So you can, if you want to know more about just chaplaincy in general, you can go to goarmy.com/chaplains and you can find out loads of content there. But if you want to get in touch with me in particular, and you could see some of my content on Instagram, fr.unclesam, Father Uncle Sam, fr.unclesam. And you can DM me there, and we can have a conversation. You can DM me there, or priestrecruitereast@gmail.com is another good way to get me.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been so blessed to have Father Peter. Stick around on Friday for the bonus show. For all of you listening, we will see you on the front lines of the spiritual battlefield. And for the rest of you, we will
see you in the Eucharist.
God bless you, soldier!
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and two on your keyboard, at the_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.